Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Football Hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen. Wrapping up the week that was with sound from the locker room, highlights from the game, and much more. And now, here's Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen.
Welcome in, Football Hour post week two. No Kyle Madsen, he'll be back in a week. Sterling Bennett filling in. Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett with you here on the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. After a Niners loss in Minnesota in week number two, final score 23-17. Sterling, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I just hope, I just wish that it was better circumstances because the Niners coming off of a rough loss and it got worse earlier today, Sterling, because not only Christian McCaffrey goes on IR before the game, you now also lose Debo Samuel to a calf strain, Kyle Shanahan said earlier today, and he will miss, quote, a couple of weeks at least. A bad weekend just got a whole lot worse for the 49ers, Sterling.
Normally, I would say happy Monday, Mark, but the last few days for Niner fans has not been very happy at all. Again, like you already mentioned, Christian McCaffrey, then yesterday's loss against the Vikings. Then you lose your best offensive player the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Should I start hitting the panic button? Because it kind of feels like that the season is not going the way you think it should have. When the season first began, you had a wonderful win against the Jets, but since then, it has been all downhill for the 49ers. Yet they're still 1-1 somehow, but it just feels gross and dirty, even though it's just week two of the NFL season.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how much 1 week or just a grouping of days can change things, because if you go back to before week one, how Niner fans felt, and it was, oh my God, McCaffrey's not going to play. Like, if you go back to 2 hours before kickoff Monday night, so a week ago, a week and like 3 hours ago, when we found out that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to play, and it was kind of suddenly chaos, like, oh my God, like, this is a worse injury than we were expecting. You don't have him week one. That's terrible. He hasn't really been on his calf all offseason. Hasn't really been playing, working. He took the entire training camp and preseason off. This is bad. And then the Niners come out and absolutely dominate a good defense, put up 32 points. Jordan Mason looks shot out of a cannon, nearly rushes for 150 yards. Suddenly the conversation changes from chaos and worry about McCaffrey to, hey, Christian, take like the first 2 months of the season off. We'll be fine. We got Jordan Mason. And now, a couple of days after that, it's McCaffrey's on IR. You put together one of your worst performances in recent memory on the road, and you lose. The game probably wasn't as close as the final score suggests. And then you lose Debo Samuel, and now you're suddenly entirely different from the way you felt after Monday night just a week ago. So it's crazy how much things can change after just one game. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, Sterling. We got a lot to get into. And the Niners, how do they survive without McCaffrey and Debo? But if you go out and handle business against the Rams, who are more beat up than you, by the way, and you do it in impressive fashion, the conversation is going to shift once again. So I am encouraging not panicking too much. Let's take it a week at a time. Things can change, but there is no doubt this was an absolutely terrible weekend for the Niners.
One of the most steady franchises, one of the most consistent franchises, feels like it's been thrown into chaos, blended up, and it's like, I don't know which way is up and what's going to happen tomorrow, which all last year didn't feel like that. Every single game felt like we're going to dominate in some form or fashion, whereas now it's like, what's going to happen with Kittle? Like, what else could go wrong right now? They're obviously 1-1, and it's, you know, again, they're in second place in the NFC West. The sky is not falling. There is no Chicken Little yelling, hey, watch out, guys. Here comes the clouds. But at this very moment, I don't blame Niner fans if they're angry and bitter, but also just want to have an answer of, hey, what does next Sunday look like? I don't walk in the next Sunday ultra confident. I go, you got to prove to me you can win without Debo and Christian McCaffrey. Those two things do not have answers just yet. And if Niner fans feel like, you know, I'm not too sure what happens this Sunday against the Rams, I don't blame them after watching them lose against the Vikings and seemingly on offense kind of have an identity crisis right now.
Yeah, I want to focus on that, and you took the words out of my mouth. Identity crisis on offense. It wasn't the most, creative offensive plan of attack for the 49ers against the Vikings. There wasn't a whole lot of the stuff that makes Shanahan special oftentimes, and the way that he can just out-scheme a lot of people. That was not the case, certainly. He got out-coached by their defensive coordinator. His name is escaping me
Brian
right now.
Flores.
Brian Flores. Thank you. And then on the other side, Nick Sorensen, Niners DC, gets out-coached, out-schemed by Kevin O'Connell. So the Niners were beaten on both fronts there, and that was with Debo Samuel in that game. So if that's what it looked like, Sterling, with Debo Samuel without Christian McCaffrey, what does it look like now without either of those two guys? Because there's been so many people, and I can think back to before the Christian McCaffrey trade happened, so nearly two full years ago now. I think back to that moment and the conversation, because there was rumors that he was going to be moved. The Panthers have been in a fire sale mode for like three straight years now, and guess what? They are again. If you missed,
just bench their quarterback.
I was going to say, if you missed one of the major pieces of news around the NFL today, they just benched their first overall pick from 18 months ago. But Dave Canales, their new head coach, is still saying that he's their quarterback. Make it make sense. It makes no sense to me. But I think back to the way the conversation was then, Sterling, and it was, well, do you really need Christian McCaffrey because you got Debo Samuel? Debo Samuel is maybe the most similar to Christian McCaffrey in terms of number of ways that he can beat you and how dynamic he is, and he's a wide back. He can take the ball to the backfield. He can also catch passes. McCaffrey does that same kind of stuff, and there were a lot of people, and I was somewhat in this camp. Obviously, the more talent you have, the better, but there were some people who felt like those talents kind of overlapped a little bit, and maybe you'd be fine with just one, but not both. But now, Sterling, the question becomes, what do you do without either of those guys? Because Jordan Mason, while maybe he's somewhat similar to McCaffrey as a runner of the football, there's no doubt that he is nowhere near McCaffrey as a catcher of the football, and now you also don't have the other guy in Debo who does those similar things to McCaffrey, and it's hard to find ways for this offense to be as dynamic as we've gotten used to them being without either of those two guys in the lineup for at least a couple of weeks.
Use a different word in that. Not dynamic. San Francisco has lost what makes their offense special. There's plenty of good offenses in football. Philadelphia is good. They have Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, who isn't playing tonight, and you have Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley. They acquired Saquon Barkley to make their good offense special. A lot of offenses are good. San Francisco has not lost just one, but now both pieces that make their offense unique and special. So Kyle Shanahan, I think, has the most pressure on him since the Super Bowl to push this offense over the hump and score some points. But even dating back to pre-2022, before Christian McCaffrey, this is a time where Kyle Shanahan has to be in his bag almost every single play, and he can only do so much. You know, players have to execute, but you've not lost one option. You've lost your number one option and your number two option. We talked the entire offseason of, oh, Brandon Ayuk is option number four in this offense. Sometimes he's behind George Kittle. Heck, so far this year, it seems like he's behind Kyle Juszczyk at times in regards to being an option on the offense. But San Francisco has lost what makes them special, and those guys that are three and fourth options got to step up. Kyle Shanahan has to dig in that bag of tricks. and become some sort of October Santa Claus, if you will, and find some way to start handing out presents and gifts to the offense that desperately needs it right now.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And you can join the conversation here on the Football Hour. It's Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you, shooting us a text, 888-957-9570. That's the Xfinity Mobile text line. You can also hit us up on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, at youtube.com/957thegame. And it's something that Lori Matthews brings up on YouTube, and this is exactly the point I wanted to make, and I think it's where you're headed as well, Sterling. Lori says Kyle needs to get back to doing some of the things he did before he had Christian McCaffrey. He's become too much of a security blanket. I feel the same. I feel like the incredible amount of talent that has been on this Niner offense now for nearly two seasons, it has... Just because it's not necessary and they can still put up 30 points without Kyle Shanahan doing all of the crazy things that make him special. And I'm not talking about trick plays. I'm just talking specifically about him scheming up somebody open down the field. And it is special. It's not necessarily like magic or a trick play or any of that, but he just finds ways to beat you over and over again. I think at times, Sterling, the talent has taken away the need for him to have to do that for the Niners to score and to win football games. Like, I think back to the year they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. Some of the other years were a little bit more uneven, like the year they lost to the Rams in the title game was a little more uneven, and that wasn't an offensive juggernaut. They really had to grind out games, and it was Debo being special that carried them in the second half, and it was the elite run D on the other side that kept them in games and allowed them to win games. But, I mean, they had a hell of an offense, not quite this level of offense. They had a hell of an offense in 2019 when Debo Samuel was a rookie and when they acquired Emmanuel Sanders at the deadline, and you've got Raheem Mostert as your running back and Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, as your quarterback. What was the difference maker then? It was Kyle Shanahan out-scheming, out-play-calling, out-coaching almost everyone that he went up against. So I'm 100% with Lori, and I'm with you, Sterling. If there is any certain amount of pressure on any one individual on the 49ers now going forward to make up for the loss of both McCaffrey and Debo, I think it's got to be Kyle Shanahan. It's got to be Boy Wonder. It's got to be the guy that we call an offensive genius. And I know maybe that label isn't always totally fair, but it's on him to make the most out of this offense and this grouping of offensive players that he has left. I think for sure the pressure's now on Shanahan to figure this thing out and make it look cleaner than it did this past week. And that was with Debo.
One thing that really concerns me, and you go back to that 2021 season when they had the two quarterback system, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, and it took Kyle Shanahan about a month and a half to find his offensive rhythm. Okay. No CMC. The offense hasn't had its rhythm, so he's relied on Debo Samuel. That makes sense. Now he's not going to have Debo Samuel for maybe at least 2 weeks. I do have concerns of Kyle Shanahan himself has admitted that he needs to get into a rhythm. If you don't have your two top stars, is that even going to be a possibility? Who is he going to rely on to get him or help him get in that rhythm? Is it going to be, hey, Brock Purdy, we're going to go five wide and just hope you can sling that ball around against the bad Rams secondary? Maybe that's the case. But for anything, it's almost like Kyle Shanahan needs to do and revert back to what worked in 2019 and just make football simple again. Ground and pound, play action. You won 13 games without Christian McCaffrey and with the rookie Debo Samuel.
They were so good
about
that
four
year.
Or five Man. Years ago. like your offense was averaging 27 points, and Jimmy Garoppolo had 27 touchdowns that year, nearly 4,000 yards through the air. It's not like Kyle Shanahan can't survive or San Francisco can't survive without Debo Samuel or Christian McCaffrey. This guy made Matt Breida look like $1 million. Raheem Mostert got paid because of Kyle Shanahan. He can take this offense with Brandon Ayuk, who's a near all-pro, and George Kittle, who's a former all-pro, and Kyle Juszczyk, and Brock Purdy, who, hey, you want to earn that $65 million a contract? Prove it the next few weeks without your guys, right? But Kyle Shanahan is known to take scraps and make it gold. I have no doubt in my mind that Kyle Shanahan can turn this thing into a couple wins in a row and survive without his star players, but ultimately, My question would be, does Kyle remember how to do those things? He hasn't had to for so long. Can he get back to making football simple again and just ground and pound and chug your way to the next two or three wins with Jordan Mason being your RB1 and Brock Purdy being your quarterback number one?
Yeah, I mean, you can still look at this group on offense, and without McCaffrey, without Debo, and this is probably more of a point of just how good the Niners have it when everybody is healthy and why they have the most talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and the defense is no slouch either. I mean, you got the best linebacker in the NFL by a mile. Fred Warner was incredible yesterday, but focusing just on the offense, when everyone's healthy, you have the most talented offense in the NFL. One of the teams on Monday Night Football, the Falcons maybe are, or pardon me, the Eagles maybe are up there. When they're fully healthy, they have an insane amount of talent on offense as well. But even Sterling, without Christian McCaffrey and without Debo Samuel, you still have a running back who's ran for over 100 yards in consecutive games, and I know he's relatively unknown. Jordan Mason, undrafted 3 years ago. Okay, that's the low end of the totem pole for the Niners offense, but you still got an all-pro tight end in George Kittle.
Yep.
You got an all-pro wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk. You have one of the more unique players in the NFL in Kyle Juszczyk, who generally doesn't need to get used much in terms of touches on offense because the Niners have so many other weapons. But as we've seen through 2 weeks, maybe turn to a little bit more to tote the rock and to catch a couple of passes out of the backfield. Not necessarily ideal, but he has the ability to do that. You've got an extremely reliable and consistent receiver in Juwan Jennings to turn to as well. Like, this isn't just suddenly a bad offense. Like, you still have a lot more offensive talent
right
than a number of other teams in the NFL. You have two all-pro skill position players. And I guess you could throw Juszczyk in there because he's basically a lock for, you know, Pro Bowl, not necessarily all pro, but for a Pro Bowl bid every single year because there's so few fullbacks. But he's one of the better players in the NFL, definitely at his position as well. You still have a ton of talent. Like, there's no reason that this should be, oh my God, are the Niners going to struggle to score 20 points a game now? Like, 17 points with this offense, even without Debo, is unacceptable. There is so much talent here to still be scoring somewhere around 24, 25, 27 points a game. You still have that kind of talent. And, oh, by the way, as you talked about with Jimmy Garoppolo, you have what everyone around here feels is a giant upgrade at quarterback as well.
Yep.
You should be scoring a lot of points still, even with this group.
What's funny, you bring up 17 points isn't enough. The two games last year in which they didn't have Debo Samuel, guess how many points they scored?
17.
That's right, 17. And in those games, they still had Christian McCaffrey, and one of those games was, yes, against the Vikings. So we might say 17 points is unacceptable. It's inexcusable to only score that many points with the offensive firepower that you have. But if history is anything to point to, they really haven't shown the ability to score more than 17 points without Debo Samuel. They're 8-9 without him all time. Again, they lost two games last year without him in that three-game stretch in which they lost, which almost cost them the number one seed in the NFC, which, yikes. I think San Francisco is facing a really banged-up Rams team. They have the Cardinals and the Patriots. If Debo Samuel misses more than two games, like, you should be able to at least win two of those. The Cardinals are kind of playing the hot hand right
Cardinals,
now, but it's any given Sunday with those guys. But yes, you're right, Mark. If this Niners offense, which what seems to be the franchise quarterback, a guy the franchise organization, mainly Jed York, is willing to pay $60-plus million a year to, can't muster over 17 points, and let's say, which again, no one knows, only Sunday will tell us this, but let's say they can only muster 17 points, and they lose two of these games against really bad opponents, there's going to be a lot of questions that have to be answered of, okay, Brock, who are you? Can you actually win without your weapons? I think he can, but now is the perfect time to prove that, because when he hasn't had Debo Samuel, he hasn't won a single game. Prove that this Sunday. Beat the Rams that have like 19 guys on IR currently. Yeah. Like, if there was a team to get right against, it's this Rams team that doesn't have the offensive firepower to fight against you at all. Like, you have to get right this Sunday, and you have to win. I know we don't want to talk about must-win games early on in the season. It's week 3, right? But this Sunday might be a must-win against the Rams. And that's scary because you don't have your guys.
Yeah, it is scary. The only positive, and you never root for injuries, positive in terms of this being an easier opponent to beat for the 49ers, is that Cooper Kupp, not currently on IR, but I would guess he's going to go on IR. Sean McVay, this is one of the other major pieces of news across the NFL earlier today. Sean McVay speaking to the media down in LA, saying that, I think the exact quote was, Kupp will miss an extended or significant period of time, and that he is a candidate for IR, and much like McCaffrey when Shanahan said that same exact thing last week. When a coach or a team is saying that a player is a candidate or it is a consideration that they're going to go on IR, that means they're going on IR. So yeah. Cooper Kupp going to miss at the very least 4 games would be my guess. They already have put Puka Nacua on IR. He's already missed this most recent game yesterday for the Rams. He's probably going to miss closer to like 8 games would be my guess. Puka Nacua for the Rams. And they're also down 2 offensive linemen, 2 starting offensive linemen. And by the way, their starting offensive line, even when fully healthy, not very good. So now they have a couple of backups in. So you have an opponent that you probably should be able to beat. The Niners are currently favored. I think it's somewhere around 5 or 5.5 for this game.
Yeah.
It'll probably change as the week goes on, but that's a significant favorite on the road despite the Niners' injuries. Yeah, and I guess before we move on here, Sterling, it's the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you. Let's just hear from Kyle Shanahan really quickly. First, let's hear officially what he said when he announced Deebo Samuel's injury. Here it is, Kyle Shanahan earlier today.
All right, guys, injuries from the game, just one new one. Deebo ended up having a calf strain. He'll probably miss a couple weeks, and that's it.
Okay, a couple of weeks from Kyle Shanahan about Deebo Samuel. What's funny about that, Sterling? What do you got?
It's 2 weeks and that's it. You could tell he was so bummed to say that over the phone to the press, to the media. It was like, yeah, 2 weeks and that's it.
Well, we were talking about it yesterday on Overtime, our postgame show here on 95.7 The Game, because Kyle Shanahan said it yesterday. They basically got out of this game injury-free. We were thinking maybe there's something with George Kittle. He got carted off, but it was because he was cramping and he got an IV back in the locker room. There was Nick Bosa, who kind of got rolled up on, left the game for a moment, but seemed fine, came back in. No update there. And Shanahan said post-game yesterday, no new injuries from the game. And then we get this bomb dropped on us today, Sterling. Not as if it was a total surprise. Deebo Samuel was limping a little bit after the game,
right,
or towards the end of the game. I kind of shrugged it off, though, Sterling, because you get in the fourth quarter of a football game where Deebo Samuel touched the ball at least 10 times. Generally speaking, he's limping. It's just kind of what happens when he touches the ball that many times. He's a bowling ball. He delivers blows, and he gets hit hard, and he keeps pushing forward. It's kind of natural for Deebo to be feeling a little bit beat up at the end of a game, but I was shocked to hear that he has a calf strain and is now going to miss at least, as Shanahan said, a couple of games.
And what, he touched the football 17 times this year so far, been targeted more than that and taken a few more hits, but we heard the entire offseason, he's in the best shape of his life. He's skinny Deebo and he looks great, and all that has been true through 2 weeks, but it's a little concerning for a player to be in the best shape of their career and already hurt after 2 weeks. Like, you're not going to get any healthier than you were 2 weeks ago,
nope. And
you're already missing games. Like, I know we want to talk about San Francisco going all the way this year, and the hope is still that's the case. But I'm a little concerned that, hey, the injuries are already starting to pile up. The Ricky Pearsall situation already happened, and hopefully he gets out there soon. But it's been back to back to back to back. It was bad news over and over and over again for this team, to a point of, you know, you got 16 more weeks. You got 15 more games if you want to go to the Super Bowl. You got, what is that, 18 more games to go? Like, this team has already shown me through 2 weeks that, you know, they may not be built to last. Not because they're not good, not because they're not great or can't be phenomenal and win 12-plus games, but My question is, like anybody else, can their bodies actually hold up? And Deebo Samuel didn't show it last year and really hasn't shown it any other year he's been healthy, which usually he misses a handful of games. I don't know if they can make it all the way if they're going to have guys miss 3, 4, 5 games here or there, and at the same time. Like, their Super Bowl aspirations could be on the line if this continues the way it is.
Yeah, we're only 2 weeks in. It's way too early to speculate on how the standings how the standings will play out at the end of the regular season. You said, all the way to the Super Bowl, that would be 18 more games. That's if they're the one seed and they have the bye. If they don't have the bye, you could be playing 19 more games if you go all the way to the Super Bowl. And you're right. At this point, you don't get healthier. You slowly deteriorate as the season goes on. You get a brief reprieve for your bye week. And if you are lucky enough to take the last week of the regular season off, you get a reprieve there. Maybe you have the bye and you get a little healthier there. You will never go back to 100%. It's the nature of this league. So the 49ers are already kind of behind the eight ball in that regard. All right, time for a break here. It's the Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. Sterling Bennett in for Kyle Madsen. I'm Mark Grandy. We got 30 minutes more to go with you here. We talked about Shanahan. Deebo is out. McCaffrey is out. There's also one other player who's got to step up for this Niner offense. We can get into that on the other side as we continue. It's the Football Hour right here on 95.7 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to the Football Hour with Mark Grandy and Kyle Madsen on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Kyle Madsen today. He'll be back next week. It's the Football Hour. Mark Grandy and Sterling Bennett with you here on 95.7 The Game. We got one more segment left with you until 7 o'clock every Monday, generally speaking, on 95.7 The Game. Best way to think about it is the day after Niner game. So last week it was Tuesday night here on the Football Hour, but this week, of course, the Niners playing on the normal Sunday. It's the Monday night Football Hour on 95.7 The Game. And, of course, reacting to what happened yesterday in Minnesota when the 49ers fell to the Vikings, final score of 23-17. A really frustrating game, an uneven game, a wobbly performance, a lot of big mistakes. And you add, even more bad mojo to that, Sterling. The 49ers today find out that Deebo Samuel has a calf strain. Kyle Shanahan saying that he will miss a couple of weeks. This is a little bit scary because the way that they talked about the Christian McCaffrey injury was, we're not even considering IR. And then a few days after that, he gets placed on IR. So you don't even know if this is just going to be two games for Deebo Samuel either. And there's just a general sense of nervousness around the 49ers right now. And that was not at all what the feeling was a week ago when the Niners were in the middle of a blowout win over the New York Jets.
To reference the Linkin Park song you came in playing, they built it up, and currently it's burning down. It's not been great so far. Obviously, 1-1, a lot of season to be played. It's anything can happen, and we shall see how this year progresses. But yes, it's not been fun the last 3 or 4 days, dating from Saturday to Monday afternoon. It's been bad news after bad news for San Francisco. But you have to think that with Kyle Shanahan owning the Rams, there may be a light at the end of the tunnel, or at least maybe a breather from the bad news this Sunday. But fingers crossed nothing else happens or transpires in the next few days, because I'm not sure my heart can take it. And again, it's only 2 weeks of the NFL season done and gone. I will say this, though, that with Kyle Shanahan, it's almost like nothing truly phases him anymore. Like, he's seen it all. He's lost seasons in 2020 to felt like every single player got hurt. He's lost star players. He's lost players that don't play at all, really. Like, he's seen it and done it all through, well, I don't know what it is now. It's an eighth year here in San Francisco. And you can tell when he announced the Deebo Samuel injury, he was like, this is what it is, guys. Like, I really don't know what to say. This sucks. It stinks, but it's the reality we're living in. No Deebo Samuel. No player that my offense has really been designed and schemed around since 2019. He's not going to be out there again, which to fans is horrifying. And I'm sure to the team, it's like, look, guys, look the other player in the eye. Look your teammate in the eye and pull yourself up, because we got to get this dub on Sunday.
Yeah. Let's hear Kyle Shanahan one more time announcing Debo's injury earlier today on his conference call with the media. Here's Kyle.
All right, guys, injuries from the game, just one new one. Deebo ended up having a calf strain. He'll probably miss a couple weeks, and that's it.
It kind of sounded so like he's talking about like a second string guy that plays generally on special teams. Like, all right, guys, injuries from the game. Only one new one. Just the one. Not a big deal. It's only our currently most important player on the offensive side of the football, the guy that we have a sub 500 record against. And it's not just going to be a 1 week thing. We know this on Monday, 6 days before our next game. It's going to be a multi week thing. Nothing to see here. No big deal. Like, he has been put through the ringer. There's been so much success in the Shanahan era, no doubt, but you're right. There's also been so much turmoil and so many heartbreaking moments and mistakes, and I think it kind of hardens you. I can't imagine what it's like for Shanahan, because for us as fans, you kind of like put up these walls and you're scared of the emotional toll that all this could take on you. For Shanahan, I'm sure it's like that times 100. He's definitely kind of hardened, and just, I don't know, he's not scared of just putting it out there, because he's been through so much in his tenure as the head coach of the Niners.
He has accepted his fate of like, look, I got to live without Deebo and McCaffrey for at least 2 to 3 more weeks. And yeah, he's touched the ball 23 total times through two games, 177 total yards, one touchdown, and he's caught 9 first downs. If there's one player you point to and say, hey, pick up the slack of Christian McCaffrey, it was Deebo Samuel. My question is, okay, if Debo's picking up CMC slack, who picks up now Deebo Samuel slack? And in return, who picks up Deebo's and Christian McCaffrey slack now? It's not like you got the bodies to go around, but my goodness, how much more star talent can you lose and expect someone to step in and take over the game for you?
Yeah, and I mean, I think obviously it's not the same skill set, but I think there's a relatively obvious answer for who's got to step up and assume not necessarily leadership or lead dog, you know, an offense role, but just in terms of helping the offense work and the offensive output and moving the ball and picking up first downs. I think it's simple for me, Sterling. It's the guy that's been the topic all offseason, for all summer long. It's got to be Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that...
I thought you were going to say Ronnie Bell for a second.
Yeah, he was the topic all summer long. You're right. No, it's got to be Brandon Ayuk. All pro, you just paid him $30 million a year, the vast majority of his $120 million contract over 4 years is guaranteed. Like, this is on Brandon Ayuk now, Sterling. He's got to be the number one option for this offense. Like, there's so much of the offseason drama around Ayuk was, well, he's your third option at best on this offense. Maybe your fourth, depending on how you feel about George Kittle, the pass catcher. He's your third or fourth option offensively. How could you possibly be willing to pay him $30 million a year? And that's fair. But there will come a time when you don't have Debo, when you don't have McCaffrey, when maybe you don't have Kittle, and then you need this guy to step up. That time has come much quicker than we all thought, and now it's on him to shake off his rust, the early season struggles, what Brock Purdy called yesterday post-game after the loss in Minnesota as, you know, the relative lack of McCaffrey involvement in the offense, just early season stuff. You got to shake all that off. Debo's gone. McCaffrey's gone. Brandon, it's on you now. Like, this is on Brandon Ayuk, and obviously it's on Kyle Shanahan, and it's on Purdy to find him, and it's on the offensive line to pass block 10 times better than they did yesterday. But Sterling, you've got an all-pro receiver that hasn't done any all-pro things through 2 weeks. It's pretty simple to me. This is on Brandon Ayuk. It's time to get going, and if it doesn't happen soon, the Niners offense might look a little frustrating for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think for right now, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, where has he been? What has he done? Like, nothing. Nothing. He's done nothing. And I hate to say that because I wanted Brandon Ayuk to get paid. It was like, yes, you deserve the money. But if you want to be blunt and be honest here, which we should if we're going to grade these players and look at them on the performance, Brandon Ayuk has been arguably the worst offensive player on the team. We're talking about Debo and Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk and sometimes even Eric Saubert. The impact Brandon Ayuk has mainly been null and void on this offense. And again, if you want to dive deep into everything that transpired this offseason and go into that Pivot podcast he did with Ryan Clark, he said, I can show other teams, if I'm in San Francisco, great, but I can show that I can do more in this offense. Okay, you held out longer than you said you needed to. That contract was on the table August 12th, August 14th, roughly 3 weeks prior to week one, and you held out and you didn't sign. But then all of a sudden, it got done. Great, Brandon. Happy you're out there. But since you've been out there, you might as well not even be out there. You have to come to work tomorrow, today. You should have came to work a month and a half ago, but that's a different story. You have to now become the number one receiver you said you wanted to be. You want to be Davante Adams? Now go out there and be Davante Adams. You want to show the world that you're worth $30 million a year? Go out there and prove to your own team you're worth $30 million a year, worth the investment they gave you. Because they didn't want to pay you $30 million. They didn't want to do that. You worked them up to that. You cannot tell me through two games or sitting back like, whew, Brandon's now looking like a $26 million a year player, not $30. Go out there and prove to me and them you're worth $30 million. That's what this team needs right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at what happened yesterday. Brandon Ayuk caught the second play from scrimmage. He got targeted the second play from scrimmage yesterday. It went for 2 yards. Okay, so what? He was involved, caught a pass. Good. That early in the game, good. You're thinking maybe he's going to be a little bit more involved, shake off a little bit of that rust. He did not catch another pass. And he was only targeted one other time until the 6 minute and 8 second mark of the third quarter, Sterling. At that point, jeez, before that play, one catch, 2 yards, two targets. Over half of the game, nearly three quarters of the game, one catch for 2 yards. That's it. And I see Don Data on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, saying, man, this is on Brock. BA can't throw the ball to himself. And clearly, there is, you know, a little bit on both sides. Brock Purdy was talking about Ayuk. In fact, let's listen to Brock. This is what Brock said yesterday about Brandon Ayuk and how he's faring through 2 weeks.
I think he looks pretty good and stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm drawn back going, BA's not like what he's been like. I don't think that at all. I think for me, I just try to go through my reads, and he's been where he needs to be. And, you know, there's probably a couple routes maybe in certain looks where we both could have been better on some stuff, but that's just like, you know, early in the season stuff, if you ask me. So I know that we'll continue to get better together in our connection and everything. But for four quarters, man, I thought BA grinded and, you know, went and competed, man, and I'm proud of him for that.
Okay, so that's Brock saying the right things post-game about his guy. Regardless of what the reason is, Sterling, for Aiyuk's general lack of involvement, whether it is on Aiyuk, whether it is on Shanahan, whether it is on Purdy, whatever the reason is, what I can guarantee you, Sterling, is if Brock Purdy has one catch on two targets for 2 yards through nearly three quarters of a game again this year, at least while Debo and McCaffrey are out, the 49ers will lose that football game. Brandon Aiyuk needs to have double-digit targets while Aiyuk is the only real passing threat out there. Without McCaffrey, without Debo, it has got to be Aiyuk consistently from start to finish. And you just hope that he physically is ready. Shanahan said earlier today that physically he's fine. Yeah, it's not like he's dealing with an injury, but there's something to be said for getting up to football speed and being ready to take hits and all that. And you generally do that by getting ready in preseason and in training camp. Aiyuk hasn't had that. He has got to get up to speed quickly. And if he's not being targeted and producing enough, again, no matter what the reason for the lack of production at this point, doesn't really matter. All I can guarantee you is if it's a general similar story in week three as it was in week one and week two, the Niners are in major, major, major trouble.
Went to push back on Don Data in the YouTube chat brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. You're right. It's not just on Brandon Aiyuk. Brock Purdy has to be on his game. He has to look for Aiyuk and target Aiyuk. That said, the biggest aspect we praised Brandon Aiyuk for in the last few years was his ability to separate. He was and has been one of the best separators to continually get open despite the secondary talent across from him. No matter the cornerback, you're going to get open, BA. That's your job. That's who you've been. Do not tell me, Brock Purdy, he looks fine or that he's in the right place. He's not. Through two games so far, which is a very small sample size, it'll likely change as the year progresses. But through two games so far, if you had to guess, what was Brandon Aiyuk's yards per separation? If I told you it was 1.9 and that ranked the fourth lowest in football through two games, what would you say? Brandon Aiyuk's not right. Something's wrong. Maybe the entire offseason, instead of bickering over a contract, you should have been out there. Because right now, your team needs you the most, and you're not even ready to be what you're supposed to be. The number one receiver on this offense. You may not be the most important player. No one's asking you to be every Sunday. But on this particular Sunday, in this particular stretch of the season, you gotta be better than 1.9 yards of separation. You have to be better than the fourth lowest yards per separation in football. That's not $30 million worth. And again, we love Brandon Aiyuk. I want him to succeed. Him and Brock Purdy, when they're on, it is electric. It is top 10 quarterback receiver duo stuff in the NFL. Brandon Aiyuk was integral into getting Brock Purdy into that top 5 MVP conversation last year. Aiyuk is so important to this team. And now, more than ever, he is arguably the most important weapon, not at the quarterback position, when you don't have CMC and you don't have Debo Samuel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And by the way, now it's only going to get more challenging. For the Niner offense as a whole, but also specifically for Brandon Aiyuk. We have these conversations about the Niner offense so often, and it's because they have so much talent, and generally it's used as an argument or a point against Brock Purdy because, you know, he's a product of the system and you've got all pros all over the place. Like, of course it's going to be a good offense and of course your stats are going to look good, Brock. How could they not be? It also goes in a similar direction for Brandon Aiyuk. Is Brandon Aiyuk really an all-pro receiver that's worth $30 million a year? Or is he just getting wide open because you got opposing defenders worrying about McCaffrey out of the backfield, worrying about Debo, worrying about Kittle? Well, guess what? Guess what? Now, without McCaffrey, without Debo, who are opposing defenses and defensive coordinators going to focus on? They're going to try to shut down Brandon Aiyuk. You're going to see cornerback one every single time. dime on you. If you're playing a cornerback that travels, guess what? They are sticking on Ayuk the entire game. So Brandon, you're an All-Pro guy. You're worth $30 million a year. Go out and prove it to us. You wish that you didn't have this much urgency early in the season. Obviously, you always want your players to be urgent and to play with urgency and to be involved every single game. But you don't want like the we have to win this game feeling early in the season. That's kind of where the Niners are, and it translates to Ayuk. Maybe you're still feeling a little bit rusty. Too bad, and it's going to get harder because you don't have other weapons to distract the defense. It's going to be more difficult than Ayuk than it's ever been. I think he's good enough for the challenge when he's fully ready to go. The question is, though, is he fully ready to go yet? We just don't quite know.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest assessment of, you know, how much did not having the offseason hurt Brandon Ayuk. I think we talked a lot about, you know, Nick Bosa when he missed time last year in the offseason, how he wasn't ready to go and really wasn't himself until week 7 or 8, maybe even week 10 against the Jaguars. Deebo Samuel, a couple years ago when he got his contract, he wasn't ready to go almost the entire season.
Yeah.
Now this year, Ayuk was there, albeit maybe a week of training camp or the preseason, whatever you want to put a name on it, whatever it might be, you got to find a way to makeshift this thing into refinding that chemistry. I don't care if it's duct tape or super glue, you got to find a way to rekindle what was last year with Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy also needs to step up. I know yesterday the box score might say he was good. It might say, well, the 300-plus passing yards and one touchdown, but you can't have dumb turnovers like yesterday. You know, this is an all-encompassing pressure meter, if you will. It's on Kyle. It's on Ayuk. It's on Kittle. It's on Juice. It's on the offensive line to give Brock Purdy the time to go through all of his reads, not allow 17 pressures and 6 sacks yesterday. That can't happen. But Brock also has to be better. Don't force balls into alleys that aren't there.
Yeah.
You have Brandon Ayuk, who may not be BA of last year. Okay, you have to find a way to manufacture him wide open. That's what Kyle Shanahan can do best. If you want to point a finger at the one person that has to be, not say perfect, but on, if you will, every single snap, it's Kyle Shanahan. Brock Purdy can execute this offense better than any quarterback not named Matt Ryan we've seen play in it. He's an MVP almost last year. They can do this without Deebo. They can do this without Christian McCaffrey. But you have to go and prove it. That's the thing. And when Brandon Ayuk was out there last year against the Vikings and against the Browns without Deebo Samuel, he didn't do much at all. Purdy didn't do much at all. This is the biggest question both these guys have hanging over their head. Can you do it when you aren't in the full or don't have the full offense at your disposal? In week 3 against the Rams, we're going to see if these guys can actually get it done.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan was asked earlier today on his conference call with the media, do you feel like Ayuk isn't fully ready? Do you feel like he's playing at maybe like 85%?
No, I think BA looks 100%. I think what he meant is he's playing about 85% of what he usually plays. But just in terms of him running stuff and health, you know, he's 100%. I just think he's getting like 85% of the playing time.
Well, yeah, the point isn't about health, right? Like, we know he's healthy. He hasn't done anything. Like, the point is he 100% of the player that he was last year? And Shanahan almost kind of seemed to say, like, yeah, no, he's not quite there just yet, which I think answers everyone's questions. Is he a little bit rusty? And this isn't like... this isn't like Ayuk, what are you doing? You need to be ready by now. It's this is what happens when you don't report to training camp early, and the Niners deserve their fair share of the blame for how the contract was handled.
Correct.
But the reality is you have your All-Pro receiver that you now desperately need more than ever, and he's physically healthy, but is he 100% of the football player that he was last year? No, it seems pretty obvious, and you desperately need him to be right now.
And maybe this is the best thing for Ayuk, and I hate to say that because nobody wants to see your star players or anybody get hurt in that matter, but you know, maybe Brock and Ayuk need to have a couple practices in maybe a week or so where it's just BA being the number one receiver, where it is simply just him and Brock, you know, rekindling that chemistry, where it's just, hey, let's go out in the backyard and let's throw footballs 100 in a row. You know, you go back and listen to what people talk about Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, and no one's comparing – Purdy to Joe Montana, or Ayuk to Jerry Rice. But you can ask both those guys, especially Jerry Rice. Montana could find Jerry Rice with the lights off. That's how great their chemistry was. Now, Ayuk and Purdy aren't there just yet, but can you do it when the lights are dim? Can you do it with a little bit of light out? I can go in the hallway and give you a nightlight if you need it, but I want to see these guys go back to their form last year and find themselves, because right now, you know, this may be the best thing for them to get Ayuk back up to speed. He should be targeted heavily against the Rams. In fact, he sure has to be. This could be the best thing for him to finally find his mojo again, which I hate saying because I don't want to lose Debo or McCaffrey, but for the sake of Ayuk, this may be the best thing for him after all.
Yeah, we'll see. One more from Shanahan, and then we got to get on out of here, but Shanahan asked if this is you easing Ayuk in after the offseason that he had, or is it just the opportunities not presenting themselves?
No, there was a number of times he had a real good chance to get the ball, and a couple times protections broke down on two of them. One time someone busted a route and just got in the same way, so it covered it up. But he had a chance to get about four big passes, and other factors happened. You know, it's a team game. There's 11 guys out there that are involved in getting someone the ball, and he did have some opportunities where he should have, but not everything went right.
And that's the other part of this, Sterling. You could do everything right as a wide receiver. One of the things goes wrong, and it's not the quarterback's fault. Sometimes it could be, but on a number of other instances, it probably isn't, and you still might not get the football even though you're wide open 20 yards down the field. You see it in every single football game you ever watch. It just happens. There's so many things that have to go right for a positive football play to happen.
Sometimes we forget that there's nine other guys on the field. It's not just quarterback and receiver. And sometimes we forget there's a defense out there. And Brian Flores' defense, definitely, it wasn't just Ayuk. It was Jennings and Kittle and Debo Samuel, for what it's worth, that he did a heck of a job stopping San Francisco's offense. Yeah. Their offense. Maybe Ayuk and Purdy would have connected had he been playing a worse defense. Shanahan has had problems against the Flores and Jim Schwartz-led defense. Maybe against the Rams, a team that is younger and banged up, we do see Purdy and Ayuk rekindle that chemistry last year, and we're all sitting here back like, "Pooh, that's a $30 million receiver if I've ever seen one," and I hope that's the case.
Yeah, gonna need it. Gonna need it for sure. Hey, that's all the time we got, Sterling. It's been a pleasure being with you here on the Football Hour. We'll catch you up on Sunday for overtime, hopefully after a Niner win.
Can't wait. Big day for BA coming up. I'm hoping so.
Fingers crossed. All right, that's Sterling Bennett. My name is Mark Randy on the Football Hour. Thanks so much for tuning in. We got overtime coming up again on Sunday, Niners and Rams. Looking forward to that. Until then, this is Mark Randy signing off. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk later.